Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Let's face it. I don't want to beat around the bush today. This has been a hard year. As much as I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, and as much as I want to focus on the bright spots, we just got to be honest. It has been a difficult year. I mean, where do we start? We're going on 9 months of a worldwide pandemic brought on by a virus that has had an extremely wide range of effects. Some who have had it had no symptoms or extremely mild symptoms. Some who have had it and can testify that it has been the worst sickness that they've ever had. Others who have been hospitalized for days, weeks, or months on end, placed on ventilators. Some we know all over the world that have died from it. Those aren't the only effects that it's had. It's caused the economy to suffer. It's devastated businesses. People are suffering from months of social isolation and extreme loneliness. Continues to cause fear and anxiety. Domestic violence cases have skyrocketed. Stress in the workplace, stress in families, stress in marriages. It's exhausting, isn't it? I mean, when's it going to end? Then we've seen destruction. We've seen riots and unrest in cities across the U.S. brought on by awful, evil racial injustices. Then ensuing racial tensions and even extremist groups. Then we get into the political division, an extremely divided nation. An election like we've never faced. Christian and biblical values that continue to be undermined and attacked. An uncertain future for religious freedoms. This doesn't even get into personal losses. Failed marriages, job loss, business closures, shattered dreams for the school year or starting college, news of cancer or return of cancer, parents or spouses that have been placed on hospice. Experienced great loss just in our own church. Some have lost parents or siblings. We lost in our own congregation, we lost our brother Carl. We lost a beautiful 19-year-old Noah, and this man who had a vibrant faith in Christ. And here we are. Here we are. Thanksgiving week. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do? Give thanks in all circumstances. And wow, what a hard year to give thanks in all circumstances. How do we give thanks in all circumstances when our world is a wreck? It seems impossible, doesn't it? Today we're going to be looking at a psalm of thanksgiving, Psalm 138. We're going to get there in a little bit, but we're going to be looking at Psalm 138, and this is what David says in very confident voice and declaration. In the very beginning, he says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Have you ever thought about what that means to give thanks with your whole heart? And is it even possible? Apparently, it's possible. But before we look at Psalm 138 and how it's possible, I first want to look at an example that we see in the book of Job. Those of you who know the story of Job know how much he suffered. We know how much devastating loss he faced. But how did things start out for Job? What do we know about Job? I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bible to Job chapter 1. Job seemed to have everything going for him. Job chapter 1. It says, starting at verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. And we have this man who is upright before the Lord. All these material blessings. 10 children and 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and all these servants. One of the greatest people of the East, it says. He had so much going for him. He had a steadfast, loyal faith and love for his God. Upright, of utmost integrity. And then along came Satan. Along came Satan. And pretty much told God and said, "You know what? Job's got all this going for him. He's got all this going for him. Could it be that it's because you've blessed him with these things? Is that why he's so steadfast in his faith?" God allowed Job. He said, don't hurt Job, he says. The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then what we see is this circumstances fell apart completely. Starting at verse 13. It says, "Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.'" And yet again, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." But watch this. Watch this. Verse 20. What did Job do? Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground. And what? Worshipped. He worshipped. Someone said of this, that utter grief is human, but worship in utter grief is not. Worship in utter grief is divine. It only comes from knowing God, knowing the one true God is the only way that we can worship in all circumstances, no matter what the devastation, no matter what the loss. Giving thanks with a whole heart is only possible through the power of knowing the one true God. And here's why. Here's why. Because true biblical gratitude is not about the things that we're thankful for. It's about who we're thankful to. We can all come up with things we're thankful for. And that's appropriate. And that's a great thing to do all year round, not just in Thanksgiving. But the thing is, we don't know if the things that we're thankful for now, where they'll be next year. 2020 has brought what it has. And when we turn the calendar to 2021, what happens? You turn the calendar to another day. We don't know what 2021 is going to bring. That's why we are called by God to give thanks in all circumstances and to see this example of David of giving thanks with a whole heart. Wholehearted thanksgiving is possible through knowing the truth about God. Now, if you would turn with me back to Psalm 138, this really answers our question of how Job, or how anyone, can worship in grief and in loss. And in all circumstances, give thanks. Psalm 138. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. How can David say with full confidence, I give thanks to you, O God, with my whole heart? It's possible by knowing the truth about who God is. Because our true wholehearted thanksgiving is not in circumstances, but it's in him. It's in him, the one who never fails, who never changes. What I want to focus on just for a few moments here on Psalm 138 are some truths about God that cause us to give thanks with a whole heart. And the first one is this. If you're taking notes, write these down. First, his love does not fail. See, our circumstances change. But what doesn't change is God's love for us. He is the reason. He is the reason that we can give thanks in all circumstances. Did you notice here in Psalm 138, David doesn't mention anything about his circumstances that give him cause to give thanks with a whole heart? I want you to notice something. Look through this text. How many times does David say, you, or your, you, O God, or your love, your faithfulness? I counted 18 times. 18 times in this psalm, he's pointing to God in his thanksgiving. He knew that God was the source of his thanksgiving. Verse 2 sums up this idea of that God's love never fails, it never changes. Verse 2, he says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Remember that word, steadfast love? We touched on this a few months ago, this summer. We looked at Micah chapter 7. Steadfast love, it's that word for God's love that we can't really put our finger on. We can't come up with the right word or even the right description to fully comprehend God's love. We come up with words like unconditional, never ending, never failing, always faithful. Author Sally Lloyd-Jones, remember, describes it as, in her children's Bible, a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And God ultimately shows this love, this unending, never-ending, never-giving-up, unbreaking love. How does he show it to us? He shows it to us in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, that is a big word. But the atoning sacrifices, the way some versions state it. He took the payment for us on the cross. This is the way he showed that never-ending, never-giving-up love. It's by sending his son Jesus to be the offering on the cross for our sins. The one and only sacrifice. Romans 5:8 describes this love even further. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, what God steps down from heaven, walks this dusty earth, this broken world, sees and experiences the effects of sin, who bears all of our griefs, who Jesus felt deeply everything that we could ever feel. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses, it says in Hebrews, and has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. And that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the best picture, the most accurate picture of this word, steadfast love, this never-ending, never-stopping, never-giving-up, always and forever love. It's because of that love we can overflow with thankfulness. Because our sins are forgiven. What did we just sing? Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. And if God loved us even when we were still sinners, is his love ever going to end? David says, I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. First, his love does not fail. The second reason we can give thanks with our whole hearts is that he answers when we call. He always answers. We see this in verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. He always answers. I have to confess that as a parent, one of the hardest things for me is being bombarded with questions. It's like, Dad, when are we going to go to the park? Dad, can I have this snack? Dad, can I go do this? Can I eat this? Can I? Question after question after question. And so often, I don't have an answer. You know when you just don't want to give an answer? And you just avoid it? You say, you know, the classic answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure when we're going to go. Because I don't have an answer. God always answers. And that's not what David experienced with God. David is a living testimony to what he says here. That on the day I called, you answered. Think about what David went through. When you read through the Psalms, he's constantly talking about the enemies that pursue him, the enemies that are pressing in on him, surrounding him. King Saul and his men sought to kill David. They chased after him, all because Saul was jealous and he hated David. David was a man of integrity. He was innocent before Saul. Imagine the turmoil, the stress that David faced. And he talks about this all throughout the Psalms. Even feels forsaken by God. He says, I cried out to you in my distress. How weak and powerless he must have felt. But he knew where to turn. And he knew that God always answered. And God didn't always answer David by changing his circumstances or by removing his hardships. But here's how God did answer. He answered by strengthening David's soul for whatever he faced. He says that specifically, "My strength of soul you increased," or this can also read, "You made me bold in my soul with strength." Charles Spurgeon said this, "If the burden was not removed, strength was given to bear it. And this is an equally effective method of help." Strength is given to bear it, to bear whatever we're facing. That's how God answers when we call. The Apostle Paul cried out to God in torment. Remember, he said, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me." He said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." But this was God's answer. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord's power and in the Lord's strength." What did we just sing? Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Because God strengthens our souls, even when our circumstances might not change. He strengthens our soul to face whatever we're going to face. Because of that, the last thing that I want to highlight here is that he gives us confidence for the future. How does David end? He ends this psalm with another confident statement. What does he say? Verse 8, he says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." Can you say that same thing? The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I've questioned that myself throughout my life. When I've found myself in maybe at a crossroads, whether it's decisions to make, whether it's hardships, doubts, whatever it has been, I have not been confident as David proclaimed here. I think back 10 years ago, right around this time of year, it was right around Thanksgiving. I had lived in Camarillo for 3 years, and I moved to Minnesota to work at our Bible college. And God, I have to say, through that whole process, God just showed me the light to just his leading through that. I had been here for 3 years, as many of you know, and loved it here. And God was doing a great work and did not have any plans of leaving. But God opened a door and led me to take this position in Minnesota at our Bible college. And there were so many things about that whole process that God just lined up. It was just like he just shone light on that whole situation. There are times in our lives where sometimes God makes it obvious. He makes the path obvious. And that was one of those times. There are other times where we really have to just wrestle. That was one of those times in my life where it was obvious, the doors that God was opening, the path that he was going to lead me on. But fast forward a couple months, I found myself in a place of darkness, in a place of doubt. I questioned, "God, why did you bring me here?" As I faced stress of learning a new job and all new challenges and moving to a cold, dark climate in the middle of the winter added to the stress. Christy and I were a few months into our relationship, and overall things were going well, but we were coming up on some harder things to work through as a couple and trying to wrestle, are we going to get married or not? And just things that we were wrestling with. Does God want us to be together? It seems that he's led us along this far, but I was starting to feel distressed. I was starting to doubt. I confided in a mentor. And this is what he said. He said, "Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light." And God caused me to look back on that experience and help me to see the ways that he led me and the doors that he opened for me and the ways that he was leading me, the ways that he was giving me strength for each day, strength for the challenges. But what helped the most in that time, as I reflected back on the ways that God had led and the ways that God had confirmed, because I knew what God had done in the past and that he was faithful, this very verse in verse 8, where David says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me," brought me peace, brought me comfort to know I don't have to have tomorrow to figure it out. I don't have to have next month figured out. I don't have to have the rest of this year figured out, because I know that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." You're trusting in Jesus Christ today. If you have received and come to embrace the steadfast love of God that we experience and know through Jesus Christ, you can say with confidence that he who began a good work in you will continue it, will bring it to completion. You can say with confidence, as David says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." He says, "For your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." And it's because of who God is. It's because of who we can be thankful to. Not always just what we're thankful for, but who we're thankful to, that our hearts can overflow in thanksgiving. And we can say, as David says here, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart." With my whole heart. We're going to have a chance to respond today. I'm going to invite the team forward for our closing song. The song is called "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness." And as we sing this, I want you to dwell on these words of this song, because as you'll see, it's not in the things of this world, it's not just in the blessings of this life that we have around us, but it's in the strength of the Lord. It's in the Lord's steadfast love and the ways that he has showed his love for us in Jesus Christ that our hearts can be filled with thankfulness. I invite you to stand and let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that we don't have to put our trust in tomorrow. We don't have to put our trust in the things of this earth. We don't have to put our trust in how well things are going for us right now or what the outlook is ahead. We thank you that we can put our trust in you, that you do not change. Though our circumstances around us change, God, you do not change. You do not fail. Your love is endless, and for that we give thanks. Amen.